Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. Come a girl with a friend, you'll be both in.
Hi, Lara.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to have a reason to put on any makeup. First time I've done it in 2 months felt good.
Really?
Yeah, what have I got to wear makeup for? No, I don't do anything. I've not done anything. I don't do shit.
Yeah, so Laura and I
sit and marinate in my own filth day in, day out. So it felt good to.
Yeah, everyone's commenting on your hair, Laura.
Thanks.
I had a moment earlier where I took a shower and I was like, I saw my hair finally sit and I was like, oh my God, I had like a slight middle part, which I haven't
Hollywood.
Had. Very like, I felt like someone from like the 40s for a second.
You are channeling Hollywood.
I am. Netflix Hollywood. Someone just
Hollywood kid. Off.
Hollywood kid. So Lara and I were recording the bonus episode this morning and I broke the news to Lara that we were in. That we had 3 more months of lockdown in Los Angeles. And Lara hit the roof.
She shot
the messenger. She killed the messenger. I actually said, why are you attacking me?
I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't shoot the messenger. But I had to because, I mean, I was caught off guard. You'll hear it if you're a Patreon person, my live reaction to being told that lockdown is extended through August.
We'll
have a month maybe to lull, and then September wave 2 will happen.
I saw the lights go off in Lara's eyes live. I was also midway through reading a report about Dakota Johnson directing the new Coldplay video, and then saw that, and I had to tell you.
It was really fucked up, all of it.
Wait, so a lot, speaking of Dakota Johnson, can we just talk for a second about since the last live webinar? Oh my God, look, I'm gone. Dakota Johnson and Apple Martin were spotted. Stranded. They were stranded on the PCH.
Stranded in Malibu once again.
Stranded in Malibu. Aren't we all? And we...
Find a nickel for how many times?
Find a nickel for every time my car broke down on the PCH. Well, I'd be a nickel man. So the photos were just of Dakota, like, in this white linen dress with a black face mask on and gloves, mm-hmm. just, like, stepping out of the vehicle. And it looked super ghostly. And Apple Martin is literally 6'4".
Yeah. She's not to be fucked with.
No.
Like, I imagine that Apple was throwing, like, really peeved at the whole situation.
Yeah. She wanted to go to the Malibu Country Mart, and she was like, yeah. I don't have time for this.
They're trying to go, like, grocery shopping, hit some farmers markets.
For Gwen and Brad.
Yeah.
They're doing a full family. I also... Do you
Are
think
they all quarantining together?
Maybe.
Do you think fly on the wall?
To be a fly on the wall. Do you think Melanie Griffith and Apple Martin have ever had a conversation?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, if she, like, maybe Melanie picked up once and was like, who is this? She messed with her.
Apple. Oh, I'm so happy to finally talk to you.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet they've met at, like, a function, like a family, yeah. like a barbecue of some sort. Yeah, I feel like there's been, like, an outdoor dinner party, like, meet mm-hmm. the family. Gwyneth wants everyone to get together.
Yeah.
I think also, like, Melanie and Blythe probably know each other.
Oh, yeah. And so, well, Blythe and Tippy probably know each other.
Exactly. So it's a great time to just gather around, fire up the pizza oven.
Mm-hmm. Tippi Hedren definitely has, like, the grandmother from Dante's Peak energy a little in her later years.
Yeah. I'd say she was a real wild card throughout all her years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be systematically bullied and terrorized by Alfred Hitchcock.
And then to literally have a house full of lions. To literally just be Colette. She was the original Tiger Queen.
She was.
Everyone forgets noted Tiger King. Tippi Hedren. Have you ever... There's a movie that they shot on their property with all the lions. And, like, it was, like, Tippi's passion project. And it was, like, a family that gets stuck in, like, a bungalow that is attacked by lions. And they shot it all with real lions. Melanie's in it as a youngster. Like, oh my as God. A teen, maybe. And it truly is, like... It was, like, a ragtag production where, like, producer, like... Like film part, some of the filmmaking crew is getting, like, mauled by lions. Like, it's dangerously, it's like completely unsupervised lion action.
Oh my God.
Lions, like, swiping and being like, and, like, jumping at them and stuff. It's really wild. I don't know what it's called, but it is a real good.
I want, like, a documentary now about that, the making of that movie.
Yeah. I mean, it is, like, true lion, like, how energy.
Yeah. Melanie was a wild child.
Mm-hmm.
I think, wasn't she dating, like, Ryan O'Neal at one point when she was, like, 18?
Probably.
Sounds she was, like, friends with Tatum. I mean, Ryan O'Neal, he hit on Tatum O'Neal at Farrah Fawcett's funeral. Did you know that story?
Wait, he was married to Farrah.
He's Tatum O'Neal's...
Tatum?
No, he's Tatum O'Neal's father.
Oh, and he hit on her?
He didn't know it was his daughter because he's like...
Does he have dementia?
I think it was more he's an alcoholic.
Oh.
But she saw him. I guess they're very estranged. And she went up to him at Farrah's funeral, which was... Her death was completely overlooked by He Who Will Not Be Named's death. And you know who I'm talking about.
Who?
Michael.
Academy?
No, MJ.
Oh yeah, she got back seat.
That's she got screwed.
A sad cancer death just swept right under the rug.
Mm-hmm. But apparently Tatum O'Neal went up to her to Ryan O'Neal and said, "Dad, I'm so sorry." Or she went up to him and said, "Hey," and he, like, started hitting on her, and she went, "Dad, it's your daughter," and he was like, "Oh, Sorry about that. Can you imagine?
That's Hollywood for you, kid.
What Tatum would have seen.
That's a real therapy moment, for sure.
We need to have Tatum O'Neal on the pod.
We should. She's seen it all.
She is. I think she has a kind of harrowing social media presence, but I'm here for it.
I feel like I remember her that she was like problematic or something on social.
Yeah, I think, wasn't she dating Rosie O'Donnell at one point?
Is she a lesbian?
Yeah, I think she's like queer. Yeah.
By icon, Tatum O'Neal. Who knew? I thought Rosie and Ryan were married, so I don't know where I've been. I was like, yeah, I hit on her. He was married to her. What?
Why wouldn't he? Did someone just write panties? I'm not wearing
nice panties.
Who's trolling me?
Don't. You guys. Icaro. Hey. Icaro has no patience. Icaro. Troll.
Nice panties, great hair. I'm wearing shorts.
Panties? You guys are...
Childish. You guys are sick.
You guys are fucking sick.
You guys are sick. Carrie was revealed. So people have, a lot of people have been wanting us to talk about Shishu.
Sheena. I mean, we do, we get into it on the bonus app, and I didn't listen to the podcast that was like the pod where all the tea was spilled or whatever.
Yeah.
All I know is that justice was revealed.
Yeah.
And honestly, however you edit Sheena, she's going to be funny. And I wish that they would give her more screen time so that we could just like enjoy more of her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if there is like a sympathetic edit for her. You know what I mean?
No. I think an SE.
Yeah. Like she's very what you see is what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, again, we talked about it on the bonus episode, but I think the whole hero edit thing of Stassi and Beau is pretty bone chilling to me.
Not my heroes.
Not my hero.
Literally, whose heroes?
Kim's face.
I love that choker she's wearing.
I know. That was
so good.
You remember when Kim walked into that dinner party wearing like a leopard body hugging dress and she went, I'm doing Kim style.
Kim is always doing Kim style. Also, yeah. Her hair is fire in this season.
It's so
good. Her blowout is so good.
Yeah. She...
And she's also just so drunk.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm tweeting out. Just a reminder.
That's a good thing to do. I'm going to go...
You're watching us live. Try to engage on social, everyone.
Yeah, I'm going to share this on YouTube now for anyone that wants to watch on the tube.
Social media moguls.
So I was like, I need to get back on Twitter. Like, I need to like have more of a Twitter presence.
I've been liking your little your subtle tweets.
Like, I'm an author. I'm a writer.
Yeah, where are you?
Like, I'm ready to enter the Twitter sphere. So then yesterday I was like, okay, I'm going to upload a video of Tony. But then it had a weird caption. And then I just felt really old afterwards because it wasn't like
a tweet.
It was cute. It wasn't like a tweet and a video how I wanted it to be formatted. It was like in a different way. And I was like, yeah. Oh, man, like technology hath eclipsed me.
Eclipsed me. Speaking of ancient, I have started a TikTok.
I think that that's a great platform. Like normally I would be in like a 5150 place with a TikTok revelation, but I honestly think that you already are shining on it, but I feel like there's a lot of like room to grow because I remember your
Vine.
What was this? Yeah, your Vine was one of my favorite Vines.
Thank you. I loved Vine. I was very dedicated to my Vine. I was super bummed when Vine closed, and I don't have any of my Vines. Like, I thought maybe
you do. You do.
You do.
No.
You do. Lindsay Lohan says you do. No.
The Federation
keeps all the Vines. All the Vines.
Wait, you do.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, I've found Dodie's old Vine, so I know that they're like saved places.
I didn't, but I didn't. I have looked. I can't. And I had. I have looked. I have looked high and low. I have looked high and low. I have like I had characters. I had like a whole world. I had like this character named Chrissy. I had like a guy named Skyler who was the store manager of American Eagle, who was always like consoling his staff about like it's okay that you have like mono, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you should bring your Vine energy to TikTok.
Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan.
Anyway, but I did TikTok, and I was my first few videos are truly nightmare. Like I did one of like a slow mo me. I was truly just laughing because I was so overwhelmed by it and I couldn't handle it, and I like slowed it down, and I'm just crying laughing on it. And I didn't know that you had to do hashtags.
You have to.
You had to get it like on their main pages. So I had to go back, delete the one I just did, and then add hashtags. And I was like adding hashtag for you. And I felt so like, I was like, oh, Sam Banks, who's a great listener. He's a reader. He's so funny.
I know him.
I know Sam.
Me in my peasant dress. I'm like truly in a place of like a peon of the Federation.
You are.
I am.
But yeah, he
long and hard.
Sam was like I like posted zero likes on TikTok on Twitter, and he posted like what the hashtags I should use, and I felt very grateful for him.
So did that bump you up your following?
I mean, you know what?
Hashtag for you.
Hashtag for you.
For you.
But yeah, that was a moment I felt it was a brave decision for me to go on TikTok, and to also I felt brave to reveal that I truly get like zero likes on my TikTok.
Well, you're new to the game. I really feel like you're gonna blow the fuck up on TikTok.
Thanks, Lars.
And you're also doing a great branding across all platforms, Icaro. We need Danielle to do a cameo. We should like crowdfund a cameo for Danielle to shout out your TikTok and tell just like a cameo from her to the world.
Follow me on TikTok at Icaro.
Icaro.
We also need to talk about how many impressions or how much Grimes' baby's name has affected us. Has it affected you?
I don't actually feel so affected by it. I'm like, of course they named it some troll name. Like, it's like not, that's like not its real name.
Yeah.
And also in the state of California, I read that it can't even be accepted as a real name on their birth certificate.
Yeah.
Because that you can't, which actually really ruined my day. You can't use the AE symbol. You have to use like just like regular letters. English language and letters.
I mean, she
which
used
sucks for me when I wanted to name my daughter Lera.
Lera. Lera.
Lera.
Isn't it Elvish? Didn't
that's
she?
The
it's
language?
Like it's like her own language. Someone just wrote Tanny.
He is Tanny.
Tanny.
Katie.
Kerry. The E always comes before E after A every time.
E after A for life.
Yeah.
I'll die on that hill. But yeah, I mean, like, how did she even say how you pronounce it?
It's she said A like Kai, and he says it's like cash.
I feel like they're already disagreeing on a lot for people that just had a baby.
Or Zai, sorry, because the X is pronounced Z.
Oh, Zai.
Zai and Zash.
Zai Sir 12.
Yeah.
Great.
I love how they named him after a warplane.
Mm-hmm.
An aircraft of death. No, not an aircraft. She specifically said it's not an aircraft of death. It's just known for its speed. But I just love Grimes is like going from this like kind of socialist Canadian
socialist queen. Punk. That's what I mean. I'm here for her relishing, like,
thanks, Nora.
Maybe
no,
we all find a billionaire partner that unleashes our innermost eccentricities. Like, I hope everyone gets that luxury in life. So I'm happy for her. I think Elon is going fully off the deep end. And I think war is just like getting to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's coming out now in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, Elon went on Joe Rogan, and the two of them were having like a circle jerk of conspiracy, straight male conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's a hoax. The hospitals are empty. But you know what? We're not going to talk about that.
They don't get very creative. I love a creative conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Should we get into this episode?
Yeah.
I have notes. I have notes on.
I have notes.
It's not Tony. It's a far less attractive pug.
A pig.
Pig.
Wait, what time is our first guest joining us?
Our first guest is joining us at 7:30.
Great. I mean, we could.
Well, what? Yeah, what should we do?
Let's preface a little. Okay. A pig.
A pig.
So we just decided, Laura had a great idea to just maybe take a little detour from Jersey for a second. Because God knows we have all the time in the world now.
Yeah.
And we obviously were on this kick of revisiting, you know, benchmark episodes, seasons of the Housewives franchise. And
we're nothing if not historians.
Yes. And I think arguably top five historic Housewives moments is episode 9 of season 1 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the dinner party from hell. Mm-hmm. And I remember where I was when I watched this. It was 2010, right before Christmas. I just returned home from my semester abroad.
We were all so young then.
Yeah.
2010. Let's see. What was I doing 2010 right before Christmas?
I was 14.
You were not.
No. I was.
Oh my God. I was 22. Like, what the so, people are saying things. Now I'm in the point in quarantine and isolation where people say things about like numbers, and I just like don't know anything about numbers. And then I just like believe them. Like someone on Mother's Day, some account that I follow, like an Anna Nicole Smith fan account, posted a picture of her with Daniel Lynn and then her with Danny Lynn.
Oh my God.
And they said like 1986 to 2000, whatever. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, she was born in 86. Like, how am I 2 years older than Anna Nicole Smith? Like, what the and like totally like went the reference to the years her children were born went right over my head.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, poor Anna Nicole.
Someone says I was 13 in 2010.
Well,
congrats.
Congrats to
you.
The team.
We did it.
We did it. Good for you. Yeah. So this episode, yeah,
we wanted to veer off, and then Carrie, you were like, let's do this episode.
Yeah. I think it has everything. It has Faye Resnick. It has a psychic. It has everyone's together. Like there's no, like they're all in one enclosed space.
Yes.
You have just the right amount of others who aren't in the main group who are like all at bringing something. Like no one is not bringing something in this moment. Even Adrienne Maloof, who's like boring as fuck, is bringing something.
Yeah. And they're all, I love that it's centered around just one event. Like,
yes,
it's so simple. Perfectly encapsulated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to do this. Now we're doing it. And now it's like blowing up in our faces.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's the decor is, it's like that. It's a little bordello. Like it's very gaudy. Like the grammar's, and the house had such a sad energy to it. Cause obviously now we know like what was going on there.
Also, is this the house that burned down?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this house like doesn't even exist anymore.
No. And it's like, yeah, it's like haunted already. And I wonder if Allison picked up on that when she
Yeah, you would think that she would have tipped Camille off like at some point. I wonder if they're still close.
Well, I think Camille said that in retrospect, she thought Allison maybe was picking up her and Kelsey's relationship.
With the cheating and he loves the nannies. Oh, yeah, because he did cheat with a nanny, right?
I think he cheated with a flight attendant.
Oh.
But yeah, it has the supernatural. It has the first time I ever saw an e-cigarette in my life was on this episode.
They don't even make e-cigarettes like that anymore.
No, it was, I remember being like, my mouth was like ajar the whole time. Cause I was just like, I'd never seen someone. I didn't know what it was so futuristic to me and like bizarre. And I was like, this is never going to catch on.
Oh boy. Little did you know.
Ajo. Jesus Christ. But yeah, it has, and there's so many fights going on in the table. There's so much good commentary. What?
Hi. We have a guest who's arrived.
I didn't know. Am I,
Hi, Pat Reagan.
Hi, Pat Reagan. Welcome to
our special guest.
The webinar.
Wait, I feel so crazy because I couldn't tell if I was gonna be waiting for if I should just dive right in or
just
if
gotta
I
dive should... in.
You just gotta okay. dive in, Pat.
Were dive in, not... water's fine.
Did I just come in and someone's like in the middle of a sentence?
Oh no. We were just like kind of filling the air.
Oh, cool.
Waiting for you.
Setting the scene.
Wait, yeah. Really?
So this is Pat Reagan. He's a New York comedian extraordinaire, host of Seek Treatment with Kat Cohen. And also a Bravo expert.
Truly. Oh, I truly feel that way. You know that I'm so modest. You know that I'm so self-deprecating. You know that
deprecating.
I was harder on myself than I am on anyone else or that anyone else could ever be on me.
Right.
I can sit here in Bushwick, Brooklyn in front of my MacBook Pro and yeah. say that, yes, I am an expert in Bravo.
You are. I mean, I love the wall color.
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, my boyfriend and sexual partner, my same-sex sexual partner, if anyone has a problem with that, they can go ahead and X out of
me.
My same-sex sexual partner has this is his sublet apartment, and he does ask me always to be public and clear about the fact that he did not choose this wall color. He would like a wall color that's in the same family, but not this specific one, and he just like me to be forthcoming with that.
Listen, I've done the Bushwick...
No, I was just going to say it's reminding me of Veronica's Closet, that show with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, yeah.
An old class. Like, it is Veronica's Closet.
It is.
I never did that. I know. I keep getting distracted because I'm looking at the chat on the side.
I know. It's a lot.
I just closed it because I can't.
Yeah, you can close.
I never watched Via's Claws, but I loved, for me as a young boy coming up in town, I loved Cheers. Me and my brother watched Cheers.
Really? I never watched Cheers as a kid.
We were Cheers on Nick at Night. I thought Kirstie was so much stronger than Shelley.
Yeah.
Who she replaced. And and I loved Kirstie Alley on the show, and she was gorgeous on that show.
She's beautiful. Also, stunning. Kirstie Alley is an incredible actress and so fucking funny. And no one, I feel like her lifestyle, unfortunately, her ideals have usurped
overshadowed
her.
It.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She's so good.
Is she, what, is she problematic?
She's Psy. Well,
she's Psy.
She's Psy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
She's hardcore Psy, kind of an anti-vaxxer.
No way.
Mm.
Oh, no.
She's unique.
She's unique.
Sexy.
I was going to say, I did a Bushwick sublet journey.
Yeah, I've done, I did, and kind of consecutively, I did 2 months in Bushwick, 2 months in Crown Heights.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 months in East Williamsburg, and then I had like a 6 months of subletting around.
A rotation.
And my boyfriend's just keeps extending over and over again.
I mean, this time is good to be subletting, I feel like.
It is, but also it's like now we're kind of looking at moving somewhere, but it's kind of like
you know, together.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. It's kind of like we've been dating for like a year and a few months. So it's kind of like if this all happened when we'd been dating for like a month, we'd probably be quarantined together, but there would be no pretense of like, this is it. You know what I mean? It would be like, after this is over, if it ever is truly over, we'll go back to our own apartments. But like, it was very much like we've been dating for almost a year and a half. It was very like trial runny.
Right.
So I think we're going to move somewhere, but like moving, it's like moving. So you decide to move one night, the next night you're foaming at the mouth, on street easy, just like for hours are disappearing. You're on street easy. You're saving. And then you like contact a few people and then people are literally calling you all day, every day being like, can you come to the apartment right now and actually buy it for, and also do you make $300,000 a week? Because you have to, if you want it.
And can you buy it right now?
Yeah. Can you buy it right? Can
sign.
You buy
it right now?
Sign it right now.
We'll send you the documents, email.
Well, Pat, what if you kept a sublet apartment and then had your place together, and then you can have like a Carrie and Big
Carrie thing. Bradshaw, yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe. But
you could just go and like write and like sit on your bed with your laptop.
That's
been getting fights about the 2 days a week off. Does that mean you're going to want 5 days a week eventually? Yeah,
I mean, is this is this where we're heading?
We could he could break up with me, and then we could cheat on his new partner together, and then she'll chase me out of his house.
Yeah.
Drama.
And fall on her face. So Pat, what is your favorite Housewives, like anything? Like which city is your favorite?
I would have to say, I mean, I'm a true believer in I'm a true believer in every city has good seasons and bad seasons.
Right.
And like golden ages and kind of like valleys or whatever. But I think if we're to look at the entire length, I would say that overall, I think New York has brought me the most joy over
absolutely
over my lifetime. I mean, New York was the one that I watched when I was like, that's what made me fall in love with the series. Like I watched. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say with the city. I was like,
yeah. I thought you were going to say with your boyfriend. And I was we're all really feeling the love.
It made me fall in love with all of those things.
Yeah.
And I just like, I've never felt the way about someone the way that I felt about Bethany seasons 1 through 3.
Yes. Heroic.
And I think that, that season 3, like that, the devolution of like her friendship with Jill, like we had never seen anything like that on reality TV before.
No.
And like it was thrilling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I literally think Bethany and Jill fighting literally made reality TV what it is today.
I think that there's a lot of truth in that, and I think especially the scene when Bethany's in like her little pea coat like crying against the car. Manhattan.
Until the day I die, I will remember sitting on my cousin's couch watching Watch What Happens Live, Sarah Jessica Parker. It's on season 3 of New York. Sarah Jessica
Parker. You're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker. This is in 2010. Sarah Jessica Parker is the guest. She gets she gets a fan question and says, Sarah, my question's for Sarah. If you were which one of the New York wives do you think is a Carrie? And Sarah Jessica Parker said, obviously fans all over the country screaming at the television, Bethany! She goes, you know, I don't know if anyone of them are exactly Carrie, but there's definitely a scene where, you know, where Bethany is kind of leaning against the wall in her red petticoat and, like, and crying. And I was like, that's very Carrie.
I know. That was so good.
I
have that seared in my brain too. Like,
why?
I don't know. I mean, all of Sarah's, my favorite Sarah Jessica Parker side note on Watch Weapons Live is when he asked her what it was like to kiss John F. Kennedy Jr. because they were dating for a while. And she was like, out of respect to his family, I'm not going to talk about
it. Oh my God.
And Andy Cohen, who's like her best friend, was like, okay.
Power move.
It was so insane. Anyway. But yeah, Bethany. Sorry, what?
No, I just had this like little like anecdote, like secondhand information about Sarah Jessica Parker that like some people think is no big, like to me, it like informs so much of who she is. Like, so someone I know was at this party that was very like that friend group. It was very like Andy Cohen and Sarah Jessica Parker and like those types of people.
Rippa.
And my friend that was there was like definitely the least most famous, but like people when they were talking to him were kind of like, they were kind of feeling interesting for being the one that was talking to him in that moment. You know what I mean? You know when you're the one famous person somewhere and it's almost like you're holding the cards because like famous people want to feel interesting, like, and talking to not famous people.
Mm-hmm.
I got the impression it was that. But Sarah Jessica Parker was like trying so hard to like seem normal, and then Andy Cohen was like, Sarah, we gotta go, like, I'm ordering a car. And Sarah goes, why don't we just take the one train? It's quicker. Like, no, you don't take the one train. Like, what are you, like, who is this for, Sarah? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you ever seen her Manhattan Hedge posts on Twitter?
No, I don't follow her on any platform.
Oh,
she's a great follow.
Really?
Yeah, per Carey, he's the one that got me into her social media presence. And once I slammed the follow button, I've never looked back.
Really? Well,
I think her first tweet ever was she like took a photo close up of a penny on the subway platform and was like, found this. It's for all of you. Like, because it was a heads up penny.
Oh my God.
But she had this tweet series where she was.
People.
She is, and she was walking to Manhattan Henge, which is like when the light in Manhattan like hits a certain way and like certain times of the summer. It's like, it's, you know.
Yeah. That's like SantaCon. That's like.
For sure. It's very hetero.
That's all in the same world.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah Jessica was just tweeting her journey to Manhattan Henge, like from the West Village.
Oh my God.
And then it was cloudy and it didn't happen. And then she wrote this tweet that was, you know, the sky was cloudy. I looked over at a woman. We shared a knowing glance. I knew Manhattan Hedge had broken her heart, too. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
God.
She's a poet.
She's a poet. Yeah. I remember there was one summer that Square Pegs was on Nick at Night. I was like a really big Nick at Night kid growing up.
Square Pegs is great.
Yeah, that was on Nick at Night for one summer, and I watched it. I remember me and my brother were really into Block Party Summer, which Nick at Night did, where Mondays they would play like all Brady Bunch. Tuesdays they would play like all I Dream of Jeannie. Wednesdays would be like all like the Monsters, and we really liked that. And then there would be some like all Cheers. There's not really like okay, but I don't want to get off topic. I feel like I keep like
no. I love that this is all in the. It's all in the zeitgeist. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well,
do you
know,
remember funny. Stick Stickley?
Wait, yes.
Did you watch, like, because Nick at Night was at night, but then during the day it would be, like, Nickelodeon and then SNICK before Nick at Night kicked in.
Totally.
And Stick Stickley was all up. He was, like, a summertime staple.
Yeah.
And he would just always, like, be popping in to intro certain shows, like, during the day.
He was a popsicle stick, right?
He was, a popsicle stick and an icon. For me, personally.
Yes, and he did, like, interstitials. Yes, Nick was on Saturday nights, and it was, like, you know, to me, it was, like, a big, huge part of my childhood was, like, TGIF on Fridays.
Yep.
Yes.
Saturdays were Nick, of course, and Saturdays was Alex Mack, and I absolutely wanted
yes!
I recently found a paper I wrote in cursive on loose leaf in fourth grade where the assignment was to say who we thought should be on a dollar bill, whose picture, what historical figure's picture, and I wrote... my thesis was that Alex Max should be. And I started it like in media res where it was like, Alex Max screamed, a truck was put into her. And it was like, ultimately,
right into action.
It was ultimately just a description of the pilot of Alex Mack. But you know, with TGIF.
Bam goes to the car.
With TGIF, it was kind of like, one time, because remember Step by Step was like a huge part of that. You know, one time mom saw an episode of Step by Step. Whenever there was like teenagers, my mom was always kind of wary of that, of me watching that. And there was a Step by Step episode where Dana, the blonde, was, you remember the brother's friend who like always wanted to have sex with Dana? And that was a huge plot point. That was, he had an art project, and for his art project, he had to paint someone naked, and for some reason, Dana volunteered to be that.
I remember that one.
So, you obviously don't see Dana naked in it, but my mom just, like, walked in, and it was, like, people talking about Dana being naked, and she's like, and from then on, I wasn't allowed to watch Step by Step. And
the innuendo was too strong.
I had to turn off TV at Boy Meets World, and I couldn't turn it back on until Sabrina, and Step by Step was, like, not okay in my house.
Oh, I hate when that happened when you're young and trying to like navigate TV. I couldn't watch anything where people said shut up or butt or fart, like all were considered curse words. So when I watched Salute Your Shorts, I'd have to like certain like time when they're doing the theme song, and then like switch the channel before they said fart, and then like switch it back to try
Oh my god, my mom.
Because as soon as she heard it, she'd bring it the hammer down.
My mom was kind of okay with I remember being in fourth grade once watching Saved by the Bell, and I remember my mom saying something dismissive about it, but in my head, I remember feeling like I'd like lost my innocence and being like, I used to watch like Rugrats and Doug, and now I'm just watching like Zach and Kelly like make out. and my mom's probably really disappointed in me.
My shows were Pete and Pete and Full House. But also Step by Step, I want to return to that. I feel like there was a younger sister on the dad family who was like definitely a lesbian.
Yeah, that was, but I think that like,
or like queer.
I don't know her name. There was Dana, and then there was long, dark brown hair. Then there was brown hair, who were in early seasons was very much a tomboy. But by the end, she was kind of like a teen queen. Like,
yeah, they like queer erasure.
Yes. She was kind of like in, I remember her being in those shirts of like, remember girls who wear those kind of like pastel colored, like spaghetti shop tanks over like a white short sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Such a look.
She was that by the end of the series.
And like she always had like a flannel around her waist.
Yeah, that was early on.
Yeah.
You know who was my favorite actress of the 90s?
Who?
The girl who played Stephanie's bad friend Gia on Full House.
She did
incredible work for a whole decade.
What's her name? Marla.
Oh, I never learned her name. She was gorgeous. She was always smoking. She was always like this kind of like misunderstood, kind of troubled girl who like the protagonist was always kind of warned against.
Gia, Marla Sokoloff. She was in
she's an amazing actress.
Oh really? Watch her be like, well, she's like an Oscar winner. I know her as Gia. I'm like, where did she go? And everyone's like, she's winning Oscars.
She's like, no, but she was like definitely of that era, but I remember like a very like, you're like, who's that girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
She was in Sugar and Spice, which is a great movie.
Oh yes, I remember that movie. I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah, she plays like the villain. But also there was a brother on Step by Step. The younger brother on the mom's side was definitely gay. Right?
He was kind of nerdy.
He like looked
He definitely was gay.
Anyway, big families.
And then there was one person who was no one's kid. He just lived in a truck, I think, outside their house.
Yeah, he like was just their like adopted son.
Their friend. That was how Seventh Heaven got eventually. It was kind of just a home for stray youth ultimately. But anyways, I feel like this, I keep getting so distracted because the chats keep coming up and
everyone's just loving it.
But what was I going to say? But wait, I feel like I ruined like I feel
no
like
you Pat. No, oh my god.
No, oh my god, never.
Stop it, Pat.
I'm not talking about Bravo at any given point.
Look, people are writing love you bitch.
No, don't, my God, don't tell me that because I'll look and then I'll jerk myself off. I'll become a cam boy.
Yeah.
On your Zoom show.
What was your, when you watched Dinner Party, because you were familiar with Dinner Party from Hell with Allison. So what was your first, like, because we were saying why we picked this episode was because we felt like it had everything. And everyone was in one area, so like no one could escape, and everyone was together, and it wasn't just like a few of them, they were all together, and then the people who were outsiders, not in the crew, all brought something great.
Yes. That felt very much like a bottle episode.
Yes.
And it had everything. It had everything in that it was like, it's so important to like the mythology of a city. You know what I mean? I feel like every city has those like early episodes that will like influence somehow the rest of time in that city of Housewives. And that definitely is like in the DNA of Beverly Hills. And then it has like Faye, like it has all like the characters. It has like Faye's in the picture. And it has this like kind of crazy one-time appearance person. And you know who I would never sleep on is that girl who used to be a huge part of all of our lives, who was friends with Camille. That like now
Dee
Dee. Dee Dee.
Yeah. Dee Dee,
a classic and truly so forgettable, but also so important.
And so dark. Yeah.
gun to head, I could not have told you her name for one. She used to be a humongous part of my life, more so than my mom, my aunts, my brothers. I
couldn't pick her out in a lineup, but like, God bless Dee Dee. She is here for drama.
I always wonder about those kinds of people. You used to see them more than you do now, who are kind of like one person's like little kind of henchman friend that like
really they don't let hangers on have like moments like that anymore in these franchises.
They also had a very loaded friendship. Like Dee Dee had, I'm not saying there was like a queer undertone, but I think that Dee Dee was extremely territorial over Camille.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's an episode in when Brandy comes on, I remember the Malibu party fight where Taylor's like screaming at Camille and being like, "You did that to me!" about her husband.
I don't know if I remember that specific one. Malibu, whose house was that? Not game night.
No, it was Brandy had like rent, her friend let her use a house so they could have a game night, and then Taylor starts crying because Camille, you know, let the cat out of the bag about Russell. But Dee Dee, and then Dee Dee's defending Camille, and there's this part where Dee Dee looks at Camille and goes, "Camille, I love you." Camille goes, "I know."
I wish
Dee Dee's unrequited love lesbian energy for sure. And when she's in the closet with Camille getting ready for this like dinner party and they're going through all of Camille's clothes one by one.
She knows all of them.
Yeah.
Kind of like holding it up. And then Dee Dee has like a power. She's like on a power trip being able to be like, that's a no.
Yeah.
Yes, you might consider that, like loving it, but then also taking jabs at like how much lingerie Camille has.
Right. Yeah,
there's like envy in her.
Yeah.
Like she's, because you know, she's
a
like
a jealous hater.
She's probably tried on some of her outfits when she wasn't there.
Absolutely. And you have to wonder, like, I always remember wondering, like what's Dee Dee's at home life like? Like, what does her house look like? Like, who is the last person she spoke to who wasn't Camille? You know what I mean? Like, did she ever go on a date ever? And like, how did that go for her? Like, does she have a social security number of her own? And like, what is that like for her? You know?
I don't want to know. Honestly, it's better to have the eternal mystery of Dee Dee. Also, I love that her name is literally the letter D and then the letter D. It's
so crazy. Because it's one of those things where you watch TV shows and there's these little like peripheral characters to the main friend group and you're like, those people don't exist in real life where they're only this flat person just to be an accessory to this friend group or this one person. And then it's like, then Dee Dee came along and was like, no, actually we do exist. We are here.
She was representation.
Yeah. So that's important. And then I don't know. There's so much. I wish I rewatched. Why don't you guys talk about it, kind of, and then I'll kind of like jump in.
And yeah, we were
takes and opinions.
Well, I think the main thing is like, Kim and Taylor start fighting, and that's the faintest line where Kim goes, "Why don't you go blow up to your lips some more?"
Oh yeah, what do they fight over? Why are they fighting?
Well, it sets the tone. Like everything that happens in this episode ends up setting the tone for like all the conflict in Beverly Hills as a franchise that's going to just like continue to marinate for seasons to come.
Totally. And I remember that thing of Beverly Hills, like when Kyle and Camille's feud was starting in New York, and it was like there was a thing where I remember Lisa had a confessional and she was like somehow blaming it on Taylor, and she was like, when I left Kyle's room she was totally fine, and then I'm doing like a weird accent,
I love it,
and then Taylor comes in, I go back and she's been with Taylor for 4 minutes and all of a sudden she's furious at Camille. So I think that Taylor, like Lisa was somehow trying to blame Taylor for their fight. But I don't remember Kim versus Taylor in that season.
Well, because Taylor, when they were in New York, the whole drama of this dinner is that Camille's under the impression that Kyle said that without Kelsey, who wants to be around Camille?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when they had the fight in New York, Kyle was like, I did not say that. You're a delusional bitch.
Yeah.
And then
did
later,
Kyle say that? I thought she said it as a joke.
I think she said something like, why would you go without Kelsey or something? And Camille took it as like, do I need to be around my husband all the time?
Yeah, it was very much not that, I remember. Like, it wasn't even like I said that and I didn't mean it. It was like a collection of words that if you like took them and rearranged them all, like they could make out that sentence. But it wasn't like what she was saying.
And when Kim and Taylor started fighting in New York, it's because Taylor was like, Kim, why are you getting involved? Because Kim started getting involved.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Kim said that Taylor told... Kim called Taylor out for what Lisa was saying behind her back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Taylor weird. And then Taylor said, I'm about to go Oklahoma on your ass.
Oh, my God.
Remember?
My girl. So, that's when I
Laura's from Oklahoma.
I'm from Oklahoma, so that oh, resonated. Really? Yeah, I was like, yes.
You know that my biggest association with Oklahoma is Brianna Gunvalson.
Oh. Yes, and guess what?
She, she spent some time there.
I'm going to piggyback on that and tell you that my mom's real estate agent who found her house that she moved into a year and a half ago was also Brianna's real estate agent and appeared on Real Housewives of OC finding her house.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
And that's he's incredible. Fully interfaced with Vicky, and he seemed to have been a little shaken from the entire situation.
Yeah.
It was not like a, I don't think it ended up being a very positive experience for him personally.
Totally. I mean, Brianna's experience in Oklahoma gave me such a warped sense of, it was always like them like hiding in the cellar, like, and Vicky like sobbing, crying, and then being like, you have to stay in here forever. And I was like, is this really what it's like in Oklahoma?
It was not a good representation. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I can just tell you that I think that their experience of it was like not.
You didn't spend all your time in basements?
I mean, mentally, yes, but like emotionally, yes. But not
when there was, what about when there was a twister?
You just like hide. It was you're supposed to hide in the bathtub and pull a mattress over you as though that's like a possible thing that you could do in a hurry. Like if a twister comes, you're going to be able to Hulk your mattress off the bed and into a bathroom and sit over a bathtub with it.
I did this like voiceover thing during quarantine, and like the person was doing a sound check with me, and they were like, they're like, so are you in like a padded room by any chance? And I was like, no, like as I kind of mentioned earlier, like my boyfriend's sublet. And they're like, okay, that's actually fine, because what you could actually do is just take mattresses and put them all up all over the walls and windows. And I was like, I can't do that. And she's like, okay, never mind.
Mattresses, like, plural?
Like, she wanted me to have mattresses everywhere.
Like, as though you have, like, several mattresses in your abode.
It's a sublet.
She said that as though she was asking.
Do you have
like,
five mattresses?
But what was I going to say? Oh, but the other thing I'll say that I always remember about season one of Beverly Hills is that in season one, episode one, when they were first meeting all the wives, when we were first meeting Taylor, I think, or else it's like when Taylor's going to get coffee with someone, she orders a coffee with four espresso shots at a Starbucks. She says, I will have four. She's like, I will have a coffee and I'll have four espresso shots in it.
Wow. She's a trendy girl.
To me, it's sometimes it's like knowing that she's been slowly building up her kind of tolerance to caffeine. Right now, every morning she has a coffee with four, and like, and Lara,
I feel that. I feel it's like Oklahoma energy.
Terry
does too. You're silently sitting in the corner acting like you don't.
We've had coffee together. You know that I go all in on espresso shots.
I was not being silent. I will not to leave Laura in the dust.
Silence equals death. Honestly,
I might not remember my coffee order when we went to Starbucks, but I got a Trenta iced coffee every morning with two shots of espresso.
That's okay. And guess what? I'm here to tell you that's okay. I just think that I'm just saying I'm not putting a bias amount in it anyway. But it just like knowing what her weight is and what her like
is
and like just knowing everything, it just is a piece in the puzzle, and that's all I'll say. The fact that got four sponge shots is just a small piece in a large puzzle.
Yeah, and it had a dark end, as we know. Yeah. So I mean, it was all like a smoothie of signs.
It was the best thing.
Taylor,
I'd venture to say what happened is with Russell is for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the... I won't say that. But we...
we absolutely cancel our...
No, I...
Throw me to the wolves.
I always remember Taylor when... My darkest memory of Taylor is on the show in season two, right after they had the fight where Camille goes, that's not cool. And Taylor walks out to the gates of Vanderpump's house where Paul Nassif is on the other side of the gate.
Oh my God.
And he inspects her lips through the gate. Like he does like a little like consultation.
Oh my God.
He's like, they're having a fight in there. And she's like kind of like disassociated a little. And she just like puts her face up to the gate and Paul like prods her face.
Oh my God.
And he was Vanderpump's neighbor. So he just like wandered over and was like, hey.
Paul, I would love to be like living near him.
Right? Yeah. Especially
he's
right
really
now.
He's really sexy to me. Like, I've always thought that he was like a sexy guy. He now is like married to like, I think a young woman. They have a baby on the way. They, at their wedding, she made him.
I wonder if he's a surrogate.
No, she's Preg's like carrying. Mm-hmm. And she made him sing like a song to her at their wedding reception, which is how you know that she's like fully in the driver's seat of this relationship.
Yeah, wow. I did think he was attractive at one point. I was attracted to him at one point.
I was so attracted to him. And especially in this episode, he walks out with like a Band-Aid on his nose because their son like...
He always had a Band-Aid on his nose, I feel like. Looking back, most of my memories are he has like a Band-Aid or something on his nose.
Well, I think he was like Adrian's sparring partner.
Yeah.
He like would do like home boxing.
But then I remember with Taylor, like my main thing is always the like Camille being like during the victory lap that was Camille's second season, like her being like, we don't say that he breaks your jaw, but now we've said it. And it's like, no, Camille, like you only said it. You know what I mean?
Everyone's just like in the background. It's like, oh my God.
Well, yeah. What's so crazy too about like watching this episode and then seeing the previously on is when Taylor is speaking out and being like, I grew up in a house with like domestic violence. And then you kind of put together the puzzle pieces and you're like, oh, this is how you ended up with this dude.
It was horrible.
So, sorry.
The thing that I was not going to say was Okay, I'm admitting this.
Okay.
When Russell died, they like released the 911 call that Taylor made from his like where he was found. And in the background, you hear Taylor go, I need to speak to my therapist.
I think I remember listening to that.
Oh, I am such a ghoul for admitting. That's why I like stopped.
No, I think I was like,
I don't know. No, it's a safe space. I can say it to you.
I know where my, what I will be Googling after this. I will need to. That.
But she goes, you just hear her go, I need to talk to my psychiatrist. And you're at this time.
what was I going to say? I remember like, I love Taylor and Lisa's like feud of like that, just like they're kind of like fight over nothing that went on all 4 seasons and like affected them throughout. Like that ultimately culminated in like the, like you can, if you don't want to be my friend, just please don't be my enemy.
Don't be my enemy. Also, but, Taylor in a suitcase in season 2.
I loved that. Yeah,
when Camille has him at her Colorado home, and you hear Kim go, "Kyle, Taylor's in a suitcase."
Oh yeah.
You see Taylor, and she's in the suitcase, and she goes, "I want to go home."
Oh my God! I remember these are my things I think about when I think about Taylor. I think about the espressos. I think about cotton candy. I think about the. With Lisa, like I love, I think about her having Kenzie's, was it Kenzie or Mackenzie? Kenzie is Catherine Calhoun Dennis's daughter. Mackenzie,
it's not Kenzie Mackenzie. It's
let's go to the chat.
Kennedy. Yeah.
Kennedy's with you. Kennedy's with you.
Yeah.
When she didn't know where her daughter was, and her daughter was like on a private plane somewhere.
her daughter was
mid-flight.
Also, there's one part where she has a birthday party for Kennedy, and they have a band who has an original song where they go Kennedy, and it's just that's the whole song.
Yeah, and then I remember Lisa Vanderpump, childless with no children, went to that children's birthday party, even though she doesn't like Taylor and she doesn't have kids. It's Taylor's child's birthday party. She goes, experiences that, and then goes Kyle's. Maybe Portia, or maybe the daughter that was directly older than Portia was having her birthday party also that day. And I'll never forget Kyle in the interview going like, and then when I went to Kyle's daughter's birthday party, it was like going home. He was saying that Taylor's birthday party was all about like the adults, and it was like fake and it was like show offy, but Kyle was like a real one.
Yeah, and she had like didn't she have like an elephant or something, or like a ostrich?
I remember that long, it was teacup. It was teacups, and there was like a top hat. Yeah. Involved. It was Taylor on a table with a top hat.
No, any Mad Hatter situation is a nunca.
It's just, you wouldn't think, but Mad Hatter is not for kids. Mad Hatter is only for 50 plus. Mad Hatter is only for 50 plus. Yeah, yeah.
It's a red flag of a situation when you enter any Mad Hatter zone. I'm immediately like, yeah. I know what it is and I don't like it.
Mad Hatter party is like one thing further down than like your Great Gatsby theme. It's like Great Gatsby. We're already getting kind of like, don't push it, and now we're going to Mad Hatter.
And then flappers.
Yeah.
You have flappers.
Flappers is the like sixth rung of hell, and then you reach the seventh and final layer.
You should do a season of your podcast where you just watch every episode of any of your Housewives season where they do a Great Gatsby themed party. There will be at least 30 of them.
There's a like Bravo. There's like Summer House just did a Gatsby moment.
Yes, they did. A Gatsby kind of like murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Or was there Gatsby and murder mystery separate?
It was like a 20s murder mystery.
Yeah.
Prohibition era.
Yeah.
Oh, themed party.
What can we start on Summer House?
Well, Pat, thank you for joining us from New York. I know it's later there.
Thank you so much.
You're an hour,
I sleep from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So that's kind of my schedule. That has
wow.
Been love. Yeah, that's like very similar to my sleep schedule these
days. That was never on purpose. But I have something tomorrow at 11. So it's like I'm going to be a true zombie for it. But.
Well, get some sleep. And we both are such fans of yours. And
I'm glad to finally meet Laura. I've never met you.
I know. Before. I'm so happy to meet you. You'll have to come on SUP and talk Vanderpump Rules.
I would love
to.
I'm going to watch right now.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Bye, Pat. We love you.
Bye.
Oops. Wait.
Get out of here. Thank you.
All right. I was not leaving you in the dust with the Russell thing. I was sobbing myself from saying.
No, I was joking.
I listened to Taylor's 911 call.
Look, it's a controversial opinion, but I'm also...
No, I'm glad he's dead, too. He's a piece of shit. He was a fucking asshole, and he like, threw her into a pool and, like, broke her jaw.
Yeah, he sucked ass.
So, fuck Russell.
Fuck Russell.
Hi, Kristen. Kristen O'Neill's here.
Kristen O'Neill. Ugh.
We love you. Friend of the pup. Friend of the sup. Friend of the tour. Kristen helped us get the tour together.
Friend of the sup.
Friend of the sup. Yeah, thank you. God, Pat is so funny. I'm so happy he came on.
Living for Pat.
Living for
Tony throwing a bit of a fit. Can you be okay? We'll see.
I mean, I guess we could do like a loose recap, just kind of like veer in and out.
We gotta just loosely recap. Our next guest is gonna join us in a bit.
Oh, there he is. Oh my God. And now we said it.
And now we've said it.
That background.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait. You're on mute. Unmute. Oh, wait. I unmuted you.
You hear me all right?
Welcome.
Hi, Jason.
Ladies and gents, it's Jake Shears.
What's up? How are you?
How you good.
Doing? Good. Jake, I was saying that I met you years ago at a party in New York, because when Laura told me you were coming on, I think she said, have you ever met him? And I was like, I think like... in 2014 or something.
What party was it? Do you remember?
It was for Paper Magazine.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense. I'm like,
right? I used to work there, so I was...
I was an intern there when I was in college, so...
Oh, really?
A long time ago. Like,
so you're a Kim and David devotee. Yeah.
You guys, chat for a second. Tony is obviously... he's a little out of control. I'm going to put him downstairs, and then... I'll return.
Okay, go attend to him. Well, thanks for coming. I'm so happy that you got the background.
I'm fucking leaving.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you like the background?
Oh, it's, I mean, look at ours. It totally fits. It's in the moment. I think Kim is
color, like, you know, I did black, like I had this in a black heart and it just looked weird. So I
blew it out.
Yeah, just on my iPad, you know, a little arts and crafts moment.
I like the dichotomy of the Kims. Like mine is like, and then yours is just like, you know what I mean?
I can just like duck down and like look. I don't know. The I've got right now the my view. I've got Kyle, you know, pointing angrily at Kim now with Lara out of the picture.
Yeah, these are her two thoughts going on at all times because you're below me right now, so it looks like we're in her thoughts.
But this is like perfect timing because over quarantine, I have been watching. I'm in the middle of season four now. I've been rewatching.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like fresh out of the, you know.
I'm so happy that's such good timing. I are you like, what is season four when?
That's when Carlton and
Carlton
come on, which is just,
yes.
It just doesn't work. Like there's a big sort of hiccup there before, you know, before Lisa comes on. I was just saying that
Carlton. No, I have my earphones in so I could hear what you guys were saying.
So
Queen Carlton of the darkness.
But it's been like, it really has been an eye opener to kind of watch it again with sort of fresh eyes. It's been a long time. My boyfriend had never seen it, so we were watching it together and it got him completely like just hook, line.
Yeah.
So it's been, but it's also been really eye-opening to see the trajectory of everything. Just like Lara said, like that dinner party from hell, it really sets the stage for the dynamics that continue on for, you know, for a long, long time.
Yeah, it really does. And I think, I just want to say really fast, what is your, because I saw Carlton at the Abbey once. She walked in with her friend. And
did
they
you turn into a pillar of salt?
I felt a witchy wind come in, and she and her friend walked straight to the back. It was kind of empty, and they sat in one of the booths and they just smoked. And it was like in like the red light was on them, and they were just like in the back, and it was so chilling for me. So I just needed to say that really fast.
I used to have a name, a room in my house named after her.
Really?
You know, one of my favorite Carlton moments. Oh my God.
Holy shit.
What?
Oh my God.
She went out and partied too hard and had to get stretchered out of the club.
Holy shit. Was that paparazzi picture?
Yeah, these were paparazzi like on the street.
Oh my God. That's us in quarantine.
Yeah. This is how I quarantine.
About Carlton, I always said to Laura, like, she's like, if you woke up in the middle of the night and she was standing at the foot of your bed, I mean, I think your heart would stop. Like,
yeah.
She actually scares, like, she really scares me.
She's truly cursed. And her home was so weird, and it looked like a adult film set.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that giant cavernous. She had a huge dining room, and they're all sitting. That episode in the fourth season that, you know, they put Kyle at the head of the table. It's so weird. And like nothing is working. It's like really where the show breaks down for a while. And like you've got Joyce that's like, you know, trying to start some sort of something.
Joyce, you know, who never fit in.
And she's like, I just she tries to like have a moment in of like once in the season, and it's just nosedives.
I know she tried her best, but everyone hated her. I think even Andy hated her. Like, it was just so like unanimous. But
she was not a hit.
Also, Carlton was, I mean, I loved like the Suspiria vibe of her home. Like, she wanted her son to be like only around women, like strong women, and like they were all witches together, I think. Do you remember that? Like, she had that nanny who lived with them, who was like possibly.
Oh, she had like a hot nanny that she probably was like swinging with her husband, and like didn't
for sure.
she have, like a stripper pole, or didn't she do some sort of like lingerie dance in front of people?
Yeah, that was with Brandy at the she and Brandy went lingerie shopping. This is about as far as I've gotten into the season four. But she and Brandy go lingerie shopping, and it is a fright show. It's just I don't know. There's something's wrong with Carlton.
Something ain't right.
Also, when she also cursed Kyle's computer. She cursed like the family PC. Remember when Kyle went into the words started popping up on her computer that said like plague and like pestilence and like locust. Like, it was like this whole, do you remember that? And she was like, I think Carlton cursed me.
Kyle like, cannot catch a break.
There's like a true accusation of witchcraft in this season, which is, I think,
Kyle's always coming up against like mystical like realms and spirits. Like, first Alison Dubois like reading her like a book, and then Carlton. Like, Kyle, but also Kyle is like a pillar of strength, because she will not collapse. She will not heed to any warning.
She's from Tinseltown, baby. Fall.
Yeah.
She's a child star. She knows what it takes to have grit.
Hilton, for fuck's sake.
Jake, what do you remember the first time you watched Alison Dubois, speaking of Dinner Party from Hell?
Yeah, like, I was
what were your first when you first saw her? Were you like,
I knew nothing about the Housewives, and I you know, was friends with somebody sort of involved in the series, and I was like, where do I start? I don't know anything about this. And he said, you got to start with Beverly Hills season one. And I just completely fell for it. And it was episode seven. It's just when stuff really goes, you just can't believe what you're seeing. And actually, on rewatch, there was something a little bit more tame about it. And I was doing some research when I was rewatching it this last time. And it's like, I question about this episode. If, you know, at game night with Dana in season two, they really show you like, you know, Kim and Kyle just really being a bitch to Brandy. Right.
Yeah.
So, I think, and I just, before tonight, I just went back again to watch highlights from this episode again, because it was like a month ago when I watched it last. And I really do feel like they are cutting, these women are, I think it's just awkward with Dubois at first. And I think the girls start attacking her. I think they just don't. I think it's edited out, but I do think they really come for her in a way at the table, and you see it in bits and pieces.
You see it with Kyle first, because Kyle is a mean girl. Like, she is the girl who will start like a side joke with someone and then just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And then her side joking, she encourages other people to get like brazen, like where it's like, obviously Allison is, I think, from a different like socioeconomic background than most of these women, especially like Kyle or whatever. And she's from a different world. And you can see Kyle immediately be like, I don't like this. I don't understand it. And I'm going to come for it. And then she gets Faye to start goading Allison too, being like, no, we just want to know. We just want to know like what you do. Like, we'd love just to like know what your, it's your job. Like, can't you talk about it? Like,
corrupt Faye Resnick.
Morally corrupt.
and you're right. Kyle and Faye, Kyle does that thing where she'll like loudly laugh about to like someone to the side in earshot of who they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So she just took my credit card out.
Do you think she hold it up and maybe she do
better
it,
take my like, credit card out. Yeah. You know, and like she totally just like, she knows how to make the air super uncomfortable and make the person know that they're like, and so Allison was blackout one. And also, it seems like
we're serving pool, like kiddie pool sized.
Those drinks look so good, though.
They look so good. Really, I really was like having a craving for like a sugary cocktail in like a Murano blown glass,
like a blue Hawaiian at Chi Dynasty. You know,
to make me feel, to know that I'll have like a hangover I regret the next day.
I could feel Allison's hangover coming. Like, I could feel her. I could feel her blackout as a sober person. I was like, it was transferring onto me.
But remarkably, like, when it cuts to her after they've left and they have that conversation where she says that like Kyle is the kind of person that like would make kids kill themselves in high school, which is a real.
I was like, yeah, she actually like is.
I love Kyle. I do. I love her.
She's an OG. You can't not, like, you have to respect her.
But I was like, that read, I was like, she is such that girl that, like, just gets everyone, like, all riled up.
Right now, she looks like, I don't know, I've only just seen pictures from the newest season. I haven't followed it, but she looks like Anne and Nancy Wilson from Heart. I mean,
her face journey is wild.
But the hair, she was like pretty good. Like,
she kind of looked like same.
She looks good, but it looks like she just walked out of the like, all I want to do to make love is make love. All I want to do is make love to you.
I love the keyboard.
Really,
the
keyboard rocker on. Energy. Yeah.
A little song right now. That's what I would do.
I wish you were playing in the background at the dinner party.
I would have loved you anytime. Did either of you clock the music in this whole episode? Like, the season one background music of Housewives of Beverly Hills is so different. Softcore porn.
It is.
And it's so Showtime.
It was the first season of the first franchise where they used like they had a bigger budget for the music. And they use, because all the other ones use like the recycled, like, this one had like there's like a Vogue-y moment where it's like, it's like clubby and like, but it's like elevated. So they spent a lot of effort on this season and it shows.
On the new one.
No, on the season one.
I see. Okay. So
you could just tell they were putting more effort into like the titles even and like, the edits were quicker, so like just because they were rich, you know what I mean.
My favorite background song from Housewives, because like I can tell you what I think the worst one is.
Okay,
there's like a breakbeat, like you know the version that's like rich people doing things. It's like dun 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 dun. Dun.
Oh yeah, yes, yes. it's like fake violins. Do do do.
Sometimes there's a version of that. There's a version of that with like a breakbeat under it.
It's like, horrible. It's horrid. I know exactly. It's like
you're hurting.
What in like 6 feet? Who does the music for like 6 feet under in like American Beauty? Like Thomas Newman or something. It's like that kind of like
is kind of like
pulling in his pre-grave.
Like there was Jake, I there was a site that had it was the guy that did my old roommate in New York sent me. She found the site that the composer of the Housewives had the site where all you could listen to all the songs, and he had them organized by city. So I'll try to find that.
You know, yeah, that I would love to.
You should do a cover. You should do a cover album.
It's kind of. It's kind of like there's a Disneyland, like basically a sound library. Like it'd be really fun to get the Housewives sound library and like play it around the house. And, you know,
you could just putter around and like anything you do that has that background where you're just like, you can call someone on speakerphone, check in. Hi, I love Camille. Like, I remember watching this season when it came out and hating Camille. Like, truly, I was like, I want to punch her in the face. And now that I'm a more evolved human being,
yeah,
I don't have to take on her energy. I'm like,
she's always out of breath.
I live and breathe for everything Camille does. I love a woman that's here to just like act so innocent. Like, everything she does is so rude, but couched in like this, like, innocence and like friendliness and like who me energy.
Yeah,
so it's like very specific to like a blonde like Beverly Hills like fake tits kind of lady.
She's also always out of breath in this season.
Love her. She's always like, she goes, hi, Lisa.
Oh, hi, it's Camille. Sorry, what were you gonna say, Jake?
I'm just saying, I love it whenever she dances, like in the little, in the flash shots when she's like, she does this like, like it's like the clavicle dance. She does this, you know. She like, I don't know.
She's very clanky. She.
No one else dances, and then somehow Camille was like, "I'm gonna dance in my."
Yeah. She also, have you ever seen the video of her? Because she was like a MTV, like, what was that dance show they used to have on MTV?
Club MTV.
She was a Club MTV girl. And there's this amazing video of her in like 1990 dancing to like deep house music. Like, it's so good. I'll post it.
We need a Camille at the rave when the tour is over.
It's fun to see her dance. I love there's scenes like in season, you know, when Brandy comes in, they get like all she and Brandy have like a little, you know, a little lipstick moment. Yeah, or just a little kind of lezzy vibe together.
Oh, for sure.
I just love her. Like, I can tell what she's trying to do, and I love her for bringing that energy to the table.
Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating how she sees what she does in that, you know, she really does. She's kind of the main thing in that first season. I mean, she's the one that gets so hung up on what, you know, Kyle said and creates that whole Kyle Kim fight. Or mm-hmm. I mean, the whole Kyle, you know, that whole fight with Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which basically is the linchpin for the, you know, for the whole season and kind of what they're dealing with still at the reunion. I really feel like she sets the stage. It's her house, of course, that they have this particular dinner in. But I think when they finish the season, she must have just hated the way she looked and hated her.
Sure. Yeah.
She came off
poorly.
And she came back season two, like you could tell she'd gone to like some media person, got a hold of her. And I also think she was like deeply unhappy with Kelsey. It was probably being like gaslit more than we even know.
And you see at the beginning of season two, like all this stuff with Kelsey, when she goes to New York, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
Horrible. Yeah.
Like he's like, I'll see you in a while. Remember when he says that? They go to see when he does like the Birdcage show.
Yeah. And she's like there in that beautiful dress.
He kicks her out of his dressing room.
She goes, I'll see you soon. He goes, I'll see you in a while. And you're just like, oh my God. But she also, but Jake, you're right. Camille always brings it. Last season, Beverly Hills, she saved it for the second to last episode when she dropped that bomb about Dorit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knows how to just turn it out and like bring the drama. And like, because all season we were waiting for some kind of explosive thing that wasn't Puppygate. And when Camille just drops the bomb at the very end, saves it for the end and just goes crazy, I was like, "This, she's a pro.
She's amazing. She's amazing. I think she's an absolute pleasure to watch. And watching these ladies, you can just see the wheels turn in their head as they learn to play the game, which is what I love about these early seasons, especially with Lisa.
Oh, I was just about to say, because you see her at this dinner party, like, you just realize, like, Lisa is a lurker in the background most of the time. Whenever there's true conflict, Lisa's not at the center of it. Like, you forget that she's not creating conflict, because whenever she is on screen, she's always doing something cheeky, like speeding around in her Bentley with, like, Ken and Jiggy, or, like, saying, like, one-liners here Cedric. And there. Yeah, or Cedric.
Oh, my God. Cedric was
scares scares the pants off me.
When you first meet, when Cedric first meets all the ladies and he tells Kyle his like very sad story about his mom in Paris and everything. And Kyle says, I feel really bad for what Cedric went through, but I just hope he's telling the truth. And I was like, Kyle knew.
Yeah. I mean, it's so obvious when you sit there. I mean, when you sit there and I just wonder what was really going on just with all that. And the fact that like that Ken and Lisa come from, what was that club that they owned in London? The gay club.
The Shadow Lounge.
Shadow Lounge, which I have dubbed the hot box for coke farts.
Their entire background is sketchy. And I'm sorry, it is. There are sketchballs. They're fucking sketchballs.
Was it like a sketchy bar?
Shadow Lounge was like it was like the premier Soho gay lounge, but it was like full red rope. And you went on it, and it was a nice club, but it was like a small, and it was like a super cokey. And always in London, when you're underground in an underground club or something, there's like sewage pipes just like all around you. So like, it's just, you could be standing somewhere and it just like suddenly just smells like duty. Like, so it was kind of like that, but it was a sort of thing where there was like no ventilation and there was all these guys like doing coke and like using the bathroom. It was like, my memories of Shadow Lounge is really poopy.
All of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants are kind of poopy.
They're like, all super, the bathrooms are not well kept.
Laura said that Sir smells like flowers and farts. Did you say that?
I'm sorry. Every one of her bathrooms, I've never been in a bathroom at any of her establishments that's been like a bathroom that I've like enjoyed myself in.
It's been like nice and refreshing, and you walk out and you're like,
yeah, you know, some bathrooms in a restaurant, you're like, oh, like loved that moment for me.
No.
I actively dread going into the bathrooms at Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant.
Always like streams of toilet paper on the floor.
Sometimes there's like barf or like pee on the seat. Like, it's just, there's always some journey happening.
Wow. So
you just don't want.
Ken and Lisa have always been like profiting off of like the gays.
Well, they've had like a restaurant empire, but I truly don't think that you can make as much money as they've made off of just owning restaurants.
I subscribe to your theories.
And the fires are very sus.
You think they're like selling like weapons or something to like?
Yes, they were. They were like.
I heard that from like a source that I wouldn't discount. That there was like an arms dealing past. It was like widely known throughout the London circle.
Really?
Someone in the chat just wrote, "Yes, weapons."
Wow. Arson, baby.
Like arms dealers.
Like Ken maybe was an arms dealer, had some sort. I just think that the money, like if you were going to actively research it, you'd meet a lot of dead ends.
Yeah. Laura, do you remember when, speaking of dead ends, do you remember when we were eating, it was your birthday, this must have been 10 years ago, and Sir, and...
10 years ago? It was like my 29th birthday.
15 years ago.
I'm 35. It was 6 years ago. My goodness.
We were in. It was a minute ago. But we were in Sur, and Ken was there with Jiggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our pictures taken. I got my. There's a picture of me with Ken.
And Ken's holding your neck.
Ken is with Jiggy, and like he's got his hand like this.
Oh.
But like I didn't feel it when it was going on in the picture. But like when you look at the picture, Ken is like. Can I just say one more thing that I realized?
Oh, I love the nodes.
I've got a little studio that I've been working in over the last couple months, and there's bottles and everything around. But I just also noticed one thing about Taylor.
So, no.
Separated at birth. Guess with who?
I wanted to say Angelina Jolie, but I feel like that's wrong.
Jerry Blank, Strangers with Candy.
Totally.
She does have a Jerry Blank energy.
She does. She totally.
She's always grimacing. She does these Blank smiles. I love Taylor, but there is, I did notice in this whole rewatch, I was like, she's got this Jerry Blank thing.
Kim kind of has Jerry Blank energy too.
Kim is very Jerry. I think Taylor is just so stressed.
And Jake's. Taylor's stressed, you said?
She's so stressed. Yeah, I don't think she eats enough, and like it causes her skeleton to look weird. You know what I mean? Like it's like the face gets very skeletal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can get garish when she's in like a moment.
Yeah, she was going through like
And by the way, you called it earlier. That is ghoulish to listen to that police call.
Oh, I know.
Listen, I'm right there with you.
I've listened to a lot of.
Are you horrified by me?
No. I would believe. Like, trust me. I'm just bad.
We've all listened to a 911 call.
Yeah,
I've listened to Jim Jones like murdering like all those people. Like,
oh yeah,
hours
out.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
He's yes. Like, mother, 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 mother.
Oh my God. Yes. I know, Jake. This is I know exactly what you're talking about.
The Jim Jones tapes.
Yeah. Mother, mother, mother. Okay. Now we're gonna get struck down.
So scary.
You're in the right company for that. Don't worry.
Good.
Yeah, but Allison, I think my favorite moment of the whole episode is when Alan DeBlanc.
This is Alan.
When Allison says, first of all, she says, okay, I have three quotes from Allison that are my favorite. When she says, you have two legs last time we checked.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she says, use them. And then she says, I'm going to shove this right up her asshole if she'd even feel it. And then also when she says, I can tell her when she'll die and what will happen to her family. I love that about me.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Those are so good. But she also has like, okay, so I have my favorite one of hers. She goes, I was studied by a scientist for several years. I have many books written about me and I've written many books.
I was studied.
I want to see that. I like when I hear her say that, I just imagine like, was she in a lab of some kind with like men with coats and women with coats, you know, looking into her in a room, or did she have electrodes on her?
I love a
mystic that's been in touch with like scientists and doctors. I'm so here for that. Cause like in this time of COVID, I'm really leaning on the spiritual community, and the ones that I ultimately trust the most are the ones that like also liaise with the medical community.
I concur. I also love when Lisa and Kyle first got there Lisa and Adrian first got there. And she says, they tell her that Medium is about Allison's life. And then Lisa goes, oh gosh, I'll have to watch it.
So
perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
Her response is so good.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I'll have to watch it.
Also, Allison goes, I'm like a drug. Once you've had a taste, you need more.
It's true, but she never gave us more. She could have gone, I don't know why she never cleared her name on Watch What Happens. She was invited to go on, and she always refused to, like, from what I understand, she refused to give, like, another interview about this thing.
She never really, go?
No, and she wouldn't go on the reunion. Like, they tried to get her back to sort of, you know,
clear herself.
Yeah.
Like, give her side of the story, and she never did, you know?
I get
that. She does a literal jerk-off motion.
Yeah. She's like, I have a job. Like, she's like a working, girl. Like, she, like, has a whole other job besides just being, like, this, like, mystical, studied by scientists medium.
She also literally gives the jerk-off motion, which I haven't seen in, like, a decade. She goes,
she's a bitch.
Also, after she says the shoving the e-cig up her ass, she goes, yeah, I went there. You're just like, what?
She's also obsessed with having a girls' night. Like, she was really excited just to have a girls' night. She said, we're having a girls' night 5 different times.
And we're going to be bad, because that's what girls do on girls' nights, is they're bad.
Yeah, she goes, it's Saturday. See, I'm still young, right? And everyone's like, what? And she goes, so when it comes, I'm like, yeah, what are we going to do? So that's the part that still comes out. And you're just like, and everyone is already so uncomfortable. So she's just, I think she was just overexcited to be on the show and got like blackout and made a fool of herself.
And being around alpha females, she really like couldn't locked handle out. The alpha female yeah. energy.
Mm-hmm. We talked for so long about how much she loved the alpha female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can we just, before I depart this awesome, this awesome night. I want to thank y'all for having me on.
Thank you for being here.
This has been super fun. I love talking about anything housewives. You know, it's gay sports.
Yes.
But can we just talk about Adrian for a second and kind of how we
always.
I have chills thinking about Adrian. Her tinfoil in the hair changed. It was like a huge beauty moment for me. I've never seen anything like that. And that started like a big trend in Los Angeles when she would do her like housewives. She would do like her talking heads moments and have the like gold in her hair. And I remember Dry Bar, when it just started out in LA, was the only place that did that. And you would have them tie like little pieces into your hair for like $35 extra on top of your blowout. And you better believe around the holidays, I went to fucking Dry Bar and got those little pieces of gold tied in my hair. They lasted through multiple blowouts and they were like everything. I don't know why they stopped doing them. They're just so great. And
I was going to ask if you think they still did them.
They don't. I don't know anyone that does them. It was such a moment. It was like a very singular moment in time, but they should really bring them back because she was ahead of her time. Like, it was very Euphoria of her to like go down that road.
She was a pioneer. Mm-hmm. She also, I always had like respect for her because she was like, she had that business. Like, she was like the breadwinner. I mean, Paul was obviously wealthy too, but I think Adrian was
a surgeon. But I love also like him being emasculated, even though he's a surgeon.
Yeah.
One of the hardest jobs
I know
possibly do, and like a great income.
She was their fighting was seeing it again now, like with fresh eyes. I forgot how dark their fighting was.
Yeah.
No, they're excruciatingly like sexless marriage.
And like, they're just not, you can just tell this isn't gonna, you know, you can't talk to each other like that constantly and like have a good marriage. But I just want to say that I think Adrian was actually a wonderful person. I think she was really sweet. And like, I sort of go back and she really is kind of a sort of glue with this whole thing that eventually, you know, Brandy just poisons.
Yeah.
She dumps the poison in the well. And also, when Adrian accuses Lisa of selling stories to Radar Magazine, to Radar Online or whatever, was a real misstep. That was her nose dive.
She was axed after that.
But as Laura said, she, again, ahead of her time.
Because
she had Lisa's number before anyone did, and she was the first one to be brave enough to say it. And Lisa, as we know now, is a real snake.
Yes, but Lisa wasn't selling anything. That was the.
Oh,
Jake!
Jake!
Lisa wasn't selling.
That is not cool. That is not cool. You need to be honest.
You need to be cool. No, I don't think she was either. But I do think that she.
Fucking selling everything.
I think money for stories. I think she's planting stuff.
Not money. I think she was planting. She's planting them to like. She's purposely telling people stuff about other people to get it published to boost her own profile.
But Adrian should have said. Instead, she was accusing her of selling them. And that was the whole kind of in that moment, Lisa's like,
oh, you think Lisa was upset most about the money accusation?
Yeah, you think I'd sell these?
Yeah, like she needs the money kind of thing.
I thought selling was just a term for when you, like, I thought that was just like a blanket term for when you leak information to a publication.
I think Lisa's one of those people that even if what you're saying is what she did, if you don't say the specific word, she can like use that and be like, oh, that's not technically what I did. You know what I mean? So like you can't really win the argument because you didn't say exactly what she did. And she's that warped that she can like rationalize that.
She has some like spiritual Xanax that is like she just always stays cool as a cucumber.
Mm-hmm. She's great in this episode.
When you're coming up against, when you're trading lots of money and firearms, that's the greatest way to be.
Really fast before you go, Jake. Did you also notice that Lisa only referred to Allison as the psychic? She always referred to her as the psychic, which I was like, that Lisa has. She's dealt with this stuff before. She's been engaged in like magical war before.
Oh my god! With Cedric. I think Cedric is a.
He's like a warlock.
Yeah.
The psychic.
He's a warlock. But also, like, just the disrespect against like mediums in general. Now you're watching it with the new eyes is like pretty shocking.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how many times that they go to psychics as the series go, you know, there's always at least once a season, Kyle's like, so I go see this is my psychic, or there's a party with a psychic, or they're always kind of like bringing psychics in. But I love it when the psychic is like, you know, I'm seeing like your, you know, Did your great grandfather have, you know, start with the letter M? People are like, no. They're like, F. They're like, no. Like, Z. No. Did your great grandmother have, no, no.
Yeah. I think they were always, I think they always have a psychic because they're always trying to replicate Alison DeBois. They're hoping one of them is going to have that unstable
electric energy.
Yeah.
And as Alison would say, they never will know that.
Never will.
Know that.
Know that.
On that note. I love you guys.
Love you, Jake.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, that was so fun.
This is super fun. Thank you for having me, and love to everybody watching, and have a great night, and, you know, live long and a housewife.
Yeah, keep up with Jake on social media.
Keep up with me. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Love.
Icaro. Everyone's just screaming her name. That was great. Jake's he's a real one.
I love him so much. True Lawler hours.
I was like, I have to say, and if he's still watching, I'm gonna embarrass myself, but like that was, I like loved that band. I loved his band, so that was like a real, you know,
iconic
starstruck moment for me. Scissor Sisters.
Sis-sist.
Iconic band. Iconic queer
guys,
band.
I feel like we did not recap this episode, but it's okay. I feel like we all had a good time regardless.
Yeah, the main thing is like just kind of, it's been nice to just reminisce with people about why this episode is so cool.
Yeah. And I also, an interesting dynamic that I noted in this episode. Yes.
Queen Sierra Pavia.
I just want to raise a Diet Coke to alpha females.
Yes.
Living legend. Alpha females.
Raise to alpha females. Yes.
And Carrie. Woo.
Friend of the pod.
If you're an alpha female, take a sip now. Yeah.
Sierra, thank you for your background is fucking amazing. Thank you.
Like, they just have like still photographers on set. Like,
yeah, I know, it's a very professional photo.
I know. I was impressed. I was like, oh wow. Love a girl's night.
Well, we love you. We're so happy you're here. And we get sidetracked every time because we just love everyone that we're talking to. You know what? It's a night of guests. It's a dinner party. People are rolling through. What is your... Yes, loose leaf recapping. What is your connection to this episode? Like, because I know you're going back and you've rewatched it. So, like, returning to it with a pair of
wise eyes.
Yeah.
I watched it when it first aired with my mom because my mom and I would watch. And this was, I don't know how many years ago. But
what's weird... Bonding.
It's just so good, and like it gets better with age. Like, it just, you see it so much more clearly. And
yes,
like now that we know all the dynamics and like what goes down, and just like the Camille of it all. Like, I was watching
the Camille of it all.
I was watching the whole thing, and like Lara was so dead on. Like, you, like Camille was giving us so much, and we weren't even aware at the time. And like, Kyle is a mean girl. She really is. And like, you're so right. She, the entire season, would like whisper to people like mean, unnecessary comments for like, that's like her sense of humor, to be mean to others at the expense of others.
Yeah.
And I like, at the time, I feel like we weren't as aware, like culturally, socially, about like how mean girl activity is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was cooler back then. And like, now it's like, red flag.
Yeah, now it's like there's, yeah, you, it's this,
you just know better. You don't be mean. Like, why?
Yeah.
If you're gonna make fun of someone, I think you have to like include them into the joke. Like,
or
you have to
make
like,
fun of yourself.
Oh my god,
it.
Like, yeah, like ha ha ha. And then like, you, there's a way to do it where you gather them in to everyone, and then
yeah,
you all
inclusive.
Have a laugh. Yeah, and inclusive trolls. And Kyle does exclusive trolls, where it's like a side whisper to then galvanize other people into laughing at someone, so that if
lifts
you're being trolled
up.
By Kyle, you know exactly what she's saying about you, and know that she's getting like three other people to laugh at you, and you don't even know what they're saying.
You can't 100%. Trust her. That sucks.
It's
Hashtag galvanize. And also, you know what I really noticed this episode too about Kyle?
What?
How much power she has over Kim. Kim, because, you know, Kyle has sort of, you know, in the true spirit of like a loved someone who's like the sibling or like family of an addict, they, you know, they take that on, and that becomes sort of their identity a lot of times. And Kyle sort of crafts the narrative, especially in season two, that she's this long suffering sister who's had this, you know, unstable alcoholic sister who's like sown all this chaos into Kyle's life. And I think that obviously she had a really hard time with Kim, and Kim has like put her through the ringer probably. But I also think Kim is terrified of Kyle. And I think this episode specifically, you see Kim watching Kyle's like reactions the whole time, like from across the table. And I really was getting the anxiety of Kim, who's constantly worried about Kyle like judging her. So Kim was sort of muted for a lot of it.
Yep.
And I think at the end when she snapped with Taylor, it was almost like a displaced rage at Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Total projection on what she actually wants to say to Kyle. You see the first shred of this, like when they're in the limo going to Camille's, and Kyle's like, I think that was the exit. Like, have you been here? And Kim was like, yeah, I've been here three times. Like, makes a joke. And then Kyle's like, what?
Yeah.
And Kim's like, no, I haven't been here. And then Kyle laughs and she's like, oh, I mean, I wouldn't care if you had. Like,
yeah, I'm so like, sure.
Yeah, yeah, the first time. But then also when you see like how Kyle operates and where, especially just the way their relationship works, is when Kyle is weakened by someone else's like read or feels insecure, Kim becomes like her whipping post, where it's like then immediately Kim is out. Like, Kim didn't do anything to Kyle. Like, Kim's shenanigans were like not even anything to write home about.
She but walked Kyle, into a like, plant.
She walked into a plant. She fell, but like that was like not anything that people come away from this episode talking about. Like, people are like, oh.
And like, then Kyle Allison, like, didn't even let her go in the limo with them afterwards.
That was, he makes her go alone.
And then, so then they all go to the polo lounge. I was like, rude.
Yeah.
So and rude. And then
Kim, when she calls her.
And Kim is in the limo. I've been there before. We were just constantly calling and calling. Like, it's...
It's not a fun thing.
All the time.
No, but like, I... Come on. We've all been...
We've all been there, right? Right?
But Kim, I think also she was digging at her a little, because when she's talking about Faye, I love when Camille goes, not looking at Faye, goes, who is Faye?
Wait, Faye can Resnick? I tell you my factoid about Faye Resnick?
Yes, please.
Sorry. Yes. So my literal best friend from college is related to Faye. And when I found this out, I like lost my mind. Like, they're
like blood related.
What?
Like blood related?
Yes. They're Greek, so they call like cousins. They're technically cousins, like I think second cousins, because the moms are cousins, but they call cousins of like a certain age, like aunties or aunts, you know? So yeah, she calls her aunt Faye. And she told me about Aunt Faye and like how she lives in LA. She's an interior designer. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, the morally corrupt Faye Resnick?
Wow.
Like, yeah. And I was like, can we go like up to LA and like hang out with her and like go to lunch? And she's like,
yeah,
no. I was like, oh.
Why?
But like, to this day, I'm always like, how's Faye? Like, how's she doing? And like, would ask about
my
her.
God.
And like, tell me little tidbits about her and stuff. But yeah, isn't that wild?
So you've still never met her?
No. And I've been begging, but they like follow each other on social media. So it's like, it's real.
Are they like, but so they're like close
ish. Like they have like a huge age gap. Like,
yeah,
you know, like an aunt and a niece would, I guess. But like, I don't know, I guess like they've never been super close, but like they're like, they wish each other happy birthday. And so, I don't know. It's just,
wow.
I just thought it was so wild. I was like, that's
Sierra, that is like one of the craziest connections I've heard.
I know. It's, yeah, it's wild. But yeah, she's like said it, when the whole, like all the OJ stuff happened, it was like,
yeah, I bet
a year before she was born or something. But yeah, like so wild. Crazy.
You know, it is. It's also wild to think about how Faye, I was thinking also at this dinner, wow, everything goes back to OJ.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
If it were not for OJ, we would not, it spawned like
everything,
a whole new world of like entertainment.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, so many people are connected to him,
mm-hmm,
in Hollywood. And, like,
and especially just, like, that Brentwood, like...
Yeah.
I mean, even in, like, the most recent episodes of Kardashians, there was Kris Jenner's birthday party happened recently where Faye Resnick was in attendance of the birthday.
She's always there.
All over the place.
Want to know something?
Love Faye.
But you want to know something? First of all, I always wish they made her a housewife. I don't
Me
know why.
Too.
They should have. Why didn't
I think she
they?
Brings it. And like, should've I like perfect. When someone like is very dynamic off the jump.
Yeah.
Like, someone Dana just was annoying, but I was like, at least she has like an angle and I'm like, I'm here to loll at her. Like, she, sorry. I like when people are just like very strong.
But she'll pop in like immediately, sorry, when Allison just... said something. She's like, I don't think so. And I'm like, psychic things tell me that you're a liar. Like, and I was like, you're a day player. Like, you're not even getting paid for this and you're willing to go in. I know what you saw.
No, someone just wrote Faye is Chloe's mom.
Real mom.
That's funny.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be laughing when you were talking.
Is
just
she? No, I no. saw. I, no.
She looks so much like
what do we believe? I don't even know what to believe.
I saw, there are pictures of Chloe as a little girl where she looks like Robert. I think Robert is her dad.
I think she's just like the youngest. She's the youngest of those. Courtney and Kim were born closer together, and then Chloe was a little bit later, and she looks a little different.
I agree. But I noticed that, going back to Kyle and Kim, I noticed that Kyle kind of used Faye to get at Kim a little, because she was like, Kim, Faye is like a sister. She basically is my sister. And you kind of had a shot to Kim, and Kim was just like,
Kyle uses people to get to other people. She did it with Taylor and Lisa. She did it with Dorit and Lisa later on. Like, she always, the threesomes are like where she lives to, like.
She thrives in that.
Yes, you're so right. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Like triangulating.
I can just imagine the dynamics, like, especially when Kim was sort of like, because, you know, Kim was like the star growing up.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle probably was jealous.
She's so good at acting.
She is good at acting.
She's so good. Have you seen her?
Black Snake Moan.
Wow, that clip that was circulating, I was like, what the hell? Like,
she should be on like a Ryan Murphy show or something. Like, she's so.
She really should. Did you know that moment where she was like imitating Allison? She was like, how's her cigarette? Like,
she's amazing.
And I was like, I was transported in that moment to like another she's a storyteller. Era. Yeah.
She's like, she's a talent. Classic actress, but she, I just, and I love when she just goes, like, she's really funny.
Yes.
Kim is, someone just said Kim is so watchable. She is so watchable. She's
you're right.
And she's really natural. Smart. She's actually really smart and like witty and has like funny little.
I think so too.
She just was fucked up. Like, she was just clouded by substances, but she's. But
once you see, like, there's a moment where you see her, like, she can't handle conflict at all. And that's where she jumps into like overdrive Kim, is when everyone's screaming over her and she's like, like, has a moment of interior and then an exterior explosion, and then that's where you get like messy Kim.
You can almost see her like on set as a kid with like someone yelling at her and like her mom being like, get in there, Kim, get in there, you know, like with
do, like, the scene,
and do the scene, like, Kimberly, and Kim just being like,
scream at Taylor.
Taylor's like,
Taylor, don't scream at Taylor.
I know, but I just had a flash of Big Kathy Hilton, like the mom, like behind Taylor being like, scream at her, Kim, scream at her. And then she just stands up and goes, why don't you go blow up your lips some more?
Just go to her mom. So mean to each other in these early seasons. Like, they would never say shit like that now.
No.
Why don't you go blow up your lips some more? I can't talk to you because you're up your rock.
You don't get slut pig energy these days.
You are a slut pig.
You're a slut pig. Bring back slut pig. I mean, I'm sorry. If we're gonna film everyone doing their whatever, I need slut pig energy.
Oh my god! Bring it back. Sarah, what would you?
Slut pigs.
I have two questions for C.
Yes.
One, would you get a reading by Allison? Do you believe
Okay,
her?
Typically my answer would be no, because I get freaked out. I don't want to know. Like, any psychic, my whole entire life, my mom has gotten readings, like, everywhere. She thinks it's really funny, and, like, she'll go to a fair, and they'll, like, read her. She'll be at, like, a jewelry party, and there's a psychic. Because, like, ladies love psychics. It's like
a thing. They do. Like,
it's a good white women love psychics. Because ladies love psychics.
Don't
I
be freaked charged. Out.
But I would have her read me, because I would just want to be in the room with her just to, like, talk to her and, like, take it all in, because, like, but I would ask, I would bring, I would want to, like, also vape too while that's part of the session.
Like, fully smoking a cig while
the
she
clouds
me.
Were just
and just like the
ankle that she was blowing the smoke was like, like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you know, you're fucked up when you're like dramatically smoking a cigarette in front of people is like
that you've
you're
just
channeling.
Met.
Yeah, that you've just met, you're on a channel level.
I also love when she goes, you're nothing. You've done nothing in your life, to Kyle.
And Kyle's kind like, of
true. He will never, never emotionally fulfill you. Know that.
Know that.
I also like when she goes, you're more, you need to let more female energy into your life. You tend to only hang out with the guys.
If she's real, she was 1000% channeling Camille, because even Camille jumped in and was like, oh, that's me. And like the cheating, the female walls, like she was literally reading Camille right next to her and like was projecting it onto Kyle, because she just like thought Kyle was a little bitch. So
yeah.
She
like, but also I think that like Camille's like, when she drinks, she just really channels.
She
and I'm
knew
like
exactly what she was setting up.
Oh, it
was
set so- it fully up. But I'm also like, I feel like from the people that I've like interacted with in the spiritual community, like it's more common that they choose to abstain from drinking, because it's like, you can like some people, like it does lower the veil or whatever, like when you're fucked up. But I feel like if you're really honed in, you want to be specific about who it is you're like channeling to. And I think
not Allison's concerned at this point. No.
Well, she was off the clock though. She said
girls
it.
Girls night.
They did put
girls night. This is Kyle, Saturday.
Kyle and Faye pushed
girls
her.
Aren't supposed to be good.
We're supposed to be bad.
What was it? We're supposed to, what was the quote? I wrote it down.
In a controlled setting.
We're supposed to be really bad in a controlled setting.
I also wanted to fuck. She came there to fuck
that
night.
She was flirty.
She was flirty. I was getting like, I was like her creamy skin. Like I found myself getting like turned on by Allison.
Between Dee Dee and Allison, like very sexually forward, flirty energy.
Dee Dee.
And then
Dee Dee has eyes for Camille though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then you have Camille being like, everything that happens, it cuts to Camille. And she's like,
yeah, I love when she goes, when she says that Kyle's a guy's girl. Camille goes, oh, that's me. I tend to only be friends with men because women don't, are jealous of me.
Catty.
Goes,
they always
so
have
catty.
Been.
They're always so catty to me.
Yeah. Dee's like, yeah, you're so right, Camille. And then Camille later, she goes, it's jealousy. I hate to say it, but it is jealousy.
They bring that back a lot. Like Dee always comes back with and reminds Camille how right she is that women truly hate her. Like,
what are you laughing at?
I'm just like, I love Camille so much. I'm like,
she's amazing.
Camille. We literally all hated Camille, and I fell into her trap. Like, she's right. Like, women fucking hate her. But yeah. They don't know. Like, you really have to get to an evolved place to like appreciate the psychosis that is Camille Grammer.
Yeah.
She also goes, Kyle, you did call me a delusional bitch. Like, and then she like waited for that moment. She was kind of like passive.
Oh, she has the lines ready, like ready and waiting. Like when she was at the Broadway play for like Kelsey's Tony or the Tony Awards, she comes out in the gown and like they're cheers and she goes, to 13 years of marriage. She knows she's about to get a divorce.
Yeah.
I'm like, I lost queen. My mind. I was like, that is brilliant. Like,
ugh. Yeah. Someone just wrote patient queen.
Patient queen. Like, does she doesn't really like curse people out, does she?
She doesn't use bad words.
She doesn't use like disrespectful language, which is
like in a reunion, Andy asked like everyone's favorite swear word and she like didn't say it. She was like, but or something like that, and they were like,
power
no
move.
And then like had to get her to say something.
She never she'll go full throttle and she'll be like and like that, but she never swears.
Yeah,
she's a polite Jersey girl from Monmouth County. She's from Jersey too. Oh yeah, Camille Donatucci,
all the best.
Get the fuck out of here.
She's from the North Jersey Shore.
As I've gotten older, my Jersey gaydar just goes off. And that's what
Kyle, you did call me a delusional bitch.
That's your perception.
That's how Kyle talks. That is your delusion. Kyle. And then she goes, who is Faye? Oh, that's where I really, you did Playboy after the OJ trial.
Oh, after the OJ
trial. She knew, like another moment where she waited and then pounced.
And she goes,
oh yeah, I did it, but I did the lingerie. I did lingerie, Playboy lingerie.
Camille did like a softcore porn.
Yeah.
She also, but I also, when they meet, when Faye, when they introduce her outside on the deck, Camille says hi to her. And then there's a shot of Camille looking away when they like part. And there's a look at Camille goes like this.
Yes.
And she knew exactly who she was in that moment. And she was just waiting.
It's weird how when you watch it back later, I was just like you, Laura. Like, I also was on Kyle and everyone else's side and thought Camille was, like, kind of crazy. Obviously, she was the villain. But, like, in watching it back, I'm, like, 1,000%, like, Camille is just the real one. And, like, the only moment that I could, like, relate energy-wise was when Kyle was, like, when someone was, like, well, don't tempt her. And Kyle's, like, what does don't tempt me mean? And I was like, that's me. I would do that. I'd be at a party and I'd be like, what does don't tempt me mean? Like,
no, of course. Because Kyle felt emboldened because she had her actual sister there. She had Faye there. Like, mm-hmm. She had Lisa next to her. So she felt like, because she does, like, even though she and Kim have a fucked up relationship, they, like, they will fight for each other. Like, they get
and
in
Allison
there.
Allison was being such a tease. She's like, well, yeah. Talking, she won't shut up about how she's a medium. And then she won't do it. And they're all like, come on. And she loves it. She's like relishing in it. And she's just like, don't tempt me. And I'd be like, prove it. What does don't tempt me mean? I would have fully leaned in and been like,
They were a full dinner table of patient queens, all of them, except Kim. Except, well, Kim was patient. She waited.
Kim was patient.
She
waited. Well, Kim, yeah, she doesn't, it's not, she's not very tempered. Like, she has to get pushed to a level where then she reacts, but she's just kind of.
She has Dodie energy.
She has Dodie energy. She's laying in wait, and then she gets, like, triggered and then goes.
Also, I really loved Adrian's little... Adrian was funny because she was sitting... She was in between, like... She was sort of the bridge. Like,
I would have sat there. I know I would have been seated there, and I would have just been like, oh.
There's this amazing shot where Allison, like, chugs some of her drink, and then they just cut to Adrian, and Adrian's like this.
Adrian's like...
She was very still. She didn't know. She didn't want any sudden movements.
Because I know she's had about 3 or 4 of those cocktails, and
I had a few sips. Oof, it was too much for me.
They were strong.
They were huge. They were goblets.
Mm-hmm.
But I love when Taylor stands up and she goes, "This is not these. We are not the ladies I know."
Yeah. Enough. That kind of women.
And she goes to Adrian. She goes, "You need to do something. You need to stand up and say something." And Adrian's like, fuck, why do I have to do
why
it?
Why would I? Yeah, like, what? Why me?
And then Kim the whole time is going, why don't you stay up and say something? I can't talk to you because you're off your fucking rocker.
That was a good Kim.
No, that's Taylor.
It's a really good.
Because Taylor, she can't really, because her, like, her Botox. Like, I can't talk to you because you're off your fucking rocker. And Kim goes, why don't you go blow up your lips some more? And then Kyle goes, Kim, stop it. She goes, why don't you go blow up your lips some more?
I'm losing my mind.
I can't talk to you because you're off your fucking rocker.
Taylor knows. Enough. I love her. Also, just like her, she's like very bar method.
Yeah.
Enough. Enough.
She's like showing her, arm, she's showing her like
muscles are just like protruding, just like enough.
She's showing that like that
little weight.
It's the sinewy Tracy Anderson.
So Tracy Anderson arms.
Yeah,
like in her little black dress, saying enough. And then the best too is Kim being like, "Well, bye." And like
she goes, thanks. Sorry about everything.
She does calm. She does like physical comedy.
She does comedy. She's a physical comedian. And then Camille goes, bye.
She's like,
Camille doesn't even get up through this whole thing. She just sits at the head of the table and she's like,
bye. She can't be bothered.
No, it's honestly jealousy.
Can we talk about how like at the end when Allison's just like on one and she's just like going at it with her vape e-cig and she's talking mad shit and you can see Dee Dee being like, okay, like, okay. Yeah. And like you she's can like, literally see Camille going like, like you're on camera. Like,
but Camille's also laughing because she loves
it. She loves it, but she's like, see, I warned her. Keep going.
Yeah, she's like.
And also picking up a rose and sniffing it.
Yeah.
Camille is peak who me, and I just live for that kind of energy where you're there to stir it up and just
she
light
sets
the fire.
It up and it acts like she just like
sets it up, what? And then it's just like,
and
like,
she
it's the best.
And she just goes, I just love Kim. Oh.
Well, gotta go. Oh,
where do you think Kim took the car to? I think she took the car from Camille's house, had the driver take her to like the Santa Monica beach, climbed over like the fence and just like sat in the water and stared out the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Or did she end up in like, where do you think she went after this? She didn't go home.
Kim?
She called herself like a vodka. Yeah. She drank herself to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh,
Kyle.
But also, it's like, why are you so mean? She was excommunicated by Kyle. It was fucked up.
And they all went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
All the
other ladies did.
They didn't have respect for Kim.
Kyle.
They were like, shit.
She hid her intentions, being like, you just go, like, we're all going home. So you just go home.
She lied.
Whatever. Yeah, lied. And then, like, wanted just her yes people around her, and then as soon as
she was mad at Kim, so wanted to not include her.
Yeah, and wanted to like teach her a lesson.
Yeah,
and then Kim even knew, she was like, "You're gonna go, and like you all are gonna like talk about this night." And she's like, "No, we're not. We're going home."
That
and then gaslights Kim. Yeah, and then is like, "Let's go." It's like it's just so mean, but like also very like mean sister energy.
Yeah.
Also, I would have wanted to ride home and recap the night with Kim. She'd be funny and do funny impressions.
Yeah, she's a great time.
They missed out on some good impressions of Allison, so their loss.
Well, there can only be like one funny Richard sister.
Kim thinks, or Kyle thinks she's funny, and I'm like,
you don't have it. Kim is the one with the gift. Sorry.
The gift of gab.
I don't want to what's it called? Take too much of your time. But can I bring up one thing that I would like your opinions on? Don't know if you saw. Okay. Do you guys see the Deadline interview that Rand gave about his first directorial debut?
Oh, yeah.
He needs Puerto Rico. He needs to get back to Puerto Rico.
It's quite a cast. It's a, you know, it's a real doozy of a picture. It's a picture.
Do you see that he wants to be up and running by the end of this month?
Good luck to that crew.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's delusional.
That's delusional. I mean, he's supposed to be getting married to Lala soon.
They pushed that though, right?
They pitched it, but I think they're getting married in Orange County. So I don't know if Orange County is extending their lockdown, but they might be on like a different stay-at-home journey than LA.
They're County. Always on a different something journey than
they're been of a different wavelength. True. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Lala's stepmom post we were talking about in the bonus episode, just how funny it was.
So like, good.
Oh, you're not so even married good. Yet
at all.
Yeah.
But also, she like considers herself like they're full on. Like I've raised them.
Oh yeah, I love assuming that role and just like owning it. Ugh.
Yeah.
To be a stepdaughter to Lala Kent.
Oh, Sierra. What a gift you were.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
You're a light in my life.
Joining. Yeah, light in mine as well.
You both are in mine. It's nice that all the first time the three of us all together. What a dream.
Right? Mm-hmm. Except well, we did we were all together once. Outside of Hugo's.
Well, yeah, yes. But I mean, like, no, we've been all together multiple times. I mean, on the pod.
Oh, on the pod. We've been together a lot. I'm sorry.
No, I revised that history quickly. I was like, yes, the one time.
Yeah.
I was sorry. Like, wow. Okay.
And so it is written.
Oh, Sierra, you know what I meant.
Wow, Bethany, wow.
We've hung out several times. Sierra
is here, and you're down here.
Sierra is a regular at our screenings.
True.
Yes,
they're good.
Thank you so much for coming.
Love you guys.
We love you. That was so fun.
I love your background, and I love you. I'll see you soon.
Love you, C. Yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Wow. What a night.
What a night. Well. I felt, I have like quarantine has given me like worms on my brain where I like can't remember like things.
Let me tell you.
Obviously, we've all hung out together with C like several times, and I'm like,
I have the same.
We did hang out together. Like Sierra is, I see Sierra like before this. I saw her like a lot. Laura and I have been with Sierra like 10 times.
What's
wrong with my brain?
But with words, like I'll have a word that I'm like grasping for, and I just have a still Alice like can't remember journey. But my kind of brain secret right now is honestly learning Italian on Duolingo. For some, I think the act of memorizing another language has really helped my brain function better. I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
That's science. Just Google it, you guys.
Say ragazza. Thank you all for hanging in there.
Yes. This was like a bit, this was experimental.
It kind of just like unfolded as it went. And
I liked it.
I think
it felt like hanging out. Like I was seeing friends and meeting new friends that I hadn't met because I hadn't met Pat before. And I was just like, wow, this is what it feels like to like know people.
We've had people. Yeah, we had sort of like it really did feel like we were having a dinner party. People stopping in, sort of like eating when they come, schnibbing a little, and then leaving and going to the next party.
Yeah, I hope all you guys enjoyed it. It was a little bit off the beaten path, but I think it's good to mix it up every once in a while. Keeps everyone on their toes.
Lars,
thank you for being.
Was that good? I think it was fun. I had actually a lot of fun. I think it was a lot of fun.
It was just a chill. It was more of a chill hang, but I think that's just the energy that that's the energy that I needed. Like I feel. And selfishly, like I feel like I got dressed up tonight, did my hair and makeup, and went to hang out with friends and
agreed.
Like, met a new person, and so that felt good for me.
Yeah, we got
so I'm like I really needed this, like just a hang sesh.
Sierra is one of my favorite people. Mm-hmm. Jake, I admire him as an artist.
Jake and Pat. Good time, long times, and just truly brings such joy to my life whenever I get to see him. So I was happy about that. And Pat is so funny. And
that's amazing.
I never met him before.
He's so great. You should follow all of them. Pat is hilarious on Twitter. You can follow Sierra on Instagram. Jake, I think, has a...
Yeah, Jake's everywhere at Jake Shears and is like releasing new music intermittently. And it's so good.
Sierra is Sierra Pavia on Instagram. And then Pat is Poe Reagan. So you can follow all of them and see what they're up to. But
and thank all you guys.
Thank you all for hanging in there. I know it's late on the East Coast and wherever else or early. Yeah,
and all you on the West Coast or in the middle, maybe you skipped Vanderpump Rules to watch us just like blab to each other. So we appreciate that. And
this is a really shitty situation that a lot of us everyone's in and emotionally, and it brings me joy to be able to do this with all of you and with Laura, and we just have to keep we're gonna do more of these because especially Laura and I in LA are
we're not going anywhere
you can't get rid of us.
Yeah, we're gonna have more of these, and maybe this can just become a thing because this actually like made me feel like a human being again, and I really was not feeling like that for
we could just do like hangouts.
Yeah,
just have people come in and just talk. Like we can have like loose, and this is all like side combo, we don't have to say this for everyone, but
I'm like open. I want to know what you guys like, and we're open to suggestions. And I mean, this is going to be a long haul, so.
Keep us sane.
Yeah. But thank you guys for giving me a reason to shower and
thank you for clean up my ass. A reason for putting on the chambray.
Know that.
Love you.
Love you so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, Unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.